if someone's got a high body count, that
let's say you're both 25, and he's got 100, and then you're like a lot lower. Like, is that okay?
It depends on the person, I think. If he was a bit of a dickhead, I'd be like, oh, whatever. But if he was a genuinely nice person and he's just had a good time, I'd be like, well, whatever, Tom. Like, you do you.
Okay, I think we've got enough there, you know? What do you guys think?
Yeah, yeah, I reckon.
That's enough.
Cool.
You can butcher that together, Anthony.
Oh, yeah. It's always, I
with
always
your
get...
ham fist.
About to go Super Saiyan Kaioken times 10. Here we go.
We're live.
Anthony, get dressed, man.
You're listening to a man who's wearing no pants right now.
Pants, you go to a club in a tie.
Exactly.
No. Come on, people. People, if you're listening on there, like, come on.
You take a photo. and then he becomes a stroke victim.
Skeletons in the closet.
You are now listening to the 99% Certified with Sunny Singh, Anthony Menezes, and Baz with only one name.
Some other good news, people, is that Katie Hopkins got banned off Twitter.
Katie Hopkins is gone. Yes.
I saw that. I don't know the exact reason why she got banned, but right before she got banned, she released some fake pictures of guys taking a piss in a memorial, right?
Shit, is that what it was?
Yeah, so for example, there was a far right member that took a piss on a memorial of a police officer, and she posted another guy taking a piss on a memorial and said they're doing exactly the same thing, but this guy was from a students riot in 2011.
Oh, so purposeful, like, manipulation of the media.
Exactly.
Basically,
manipulation.
For hateful purposes. Okay, I see. Yeah. I see.
But I don't know if that's the exact reason she got banned. I think it might have been something more malicious than that. Baz, do you know?
It said hateful conduct. It could have been something to do with her. Well, I think she's been on so much madnesses. She had a big argument, a big buster with Marcus Rashford this week.
Yes, I remember this. You know, oh, good on him, by the way. Good on him for getting those free scores.
I won't hear any bad words said about footballers ever again.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, Baz.
they're just people, though. You can't all rope them in together.
That is true. But Marcus Rashford, though, beautiful human being. Well done, you, mate.
Yeah. So I think she said something about how parents shouldn't have kids if they're poor, basically, and, you know, that sort of idea that people shouldn't be helping, you know.
Yeah, but she's always had that kind of sentiment. And that woman is a walking contradiction. Do you remember that one time she appeared on Good Morning Britain, I think, or something like that? It was with Philip Schofield and Holly, and they were like, "What was she saying? Oh yeah, I hate kids who have got geographical names. Oh, isn't your daughter called India?
What? Is that a real thing? Is that a real thing, mate?
Yeah, she got outed, by big Philip Schofield.
That's a real thing.
It's a little thing, mate.
Do you know where she became famous from? Because I didn't know this.
The Apprentice, isn't it?
The Apprentice, yeah.
The Apprentice. What?
Yeah, the Apprentice candidate. Ages back.
This was, Alan Sugar days, maybe 2005?
Wait, Anthony, Alan Sugar still hosts it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, because obviously you might be thinking of the American Apprentice, but yeah, The Apprentice 2005-06, I think that was it. Ages ago.
And how far did she reach? What stage did she get fired?
As you might know this.
I'm Wikipedia-ing as we speak. It was 2006.
That was long ago, man. I don't even know if I watched it back then.
Yeah. Do you know what it was? She was always the same character. She was like overly assertive, a little bit obnoxious. And then suddenly, once she fell off The Apprentice, I think she realised that the only way for her to hold onto her limelight was to just be a racist, which is a strange avenue to go down, isn't it?
Can you imagine can you imagine she's not actually racist in real life, but she just does it just to gain fame?
No, but she must have ruined her life, though. Her kids must be like, you got to feel bad for her kids, though. I've done some research. She got a place on the final episode, but she rejected Alan Sugar's offer, citing problems with child healthcare, and withdrew from the competition.
Wait, mate, it's her own fault, then. She shot herself in the foot. Don't blame
her. I'm impressed, though. I didn't think she was that smart.
I mean, didn't you watch that? Didn't you watch that season, Baz?
No, 2006, man. I'd have been nine.
Yeah,
I wasn't watching Apprentice then.
Well, yeah. either way, she was the most. You know, I don't think I'd be going too far to say that she was probably the most hated woman in Britain.
Even then,
no, as in now.
Oh yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, so there's another thing that's been going on. Statues are being pulled down.
Yes. Do you know what? Like, my one argument to go against that is, like, if you're going to pull down statues which were, you know, of slave owners, why don't we go pull down the pyramids? Bro, were the pyramids made by slaves? Let's go pull down the pyramids. Hey, come on. Let's go to Giza right now. Let's pull down the pyramids. Come on, then.
Actually, that's a very good point, to be fair, yeah.
Am I chatting shit?
I know you're going to dig this.
Welcome to the 99% with myself, Sonny Singh.
Anthony Menezes.
And Baz.
With only one name, bringing you hard-hitting topics so you don't have to. And today we've got a special guest. We've got Kate, the Raveholic Vitica.
Hello. All right, boys, how we doing?
Hey, Kate. Oh, it's so glad to have you on this, man.
I'm buzzing to be here. It literally took us 2 hours to set up, but you know what? We're here. We're going strong.
like a bathtub for, you know, drinking wine to prepare. You know, you had your mental clarity stage. Everything was so perfect.
Yeah, I messaged Ant, like, just so you know, I'm just about to have a bath with a glass of wine, so I'm going to be on top form. And he was like, nice.
Perfect. No, yeah, it's wonderful to have you on, Kate, because you know, you are one of our fellow podcasters, and this is very long overdue.
Of course.
To our listeners, please do go on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all other sources and search Navigating Your 20s. And this is Kate's podcast about navigating your 20s, and it's a blast to listen to. You need to check it out. Kate, do you want to say anything about your navigating the 20s?
Oh, I'd love to, man. Yeah, it's just basically a little comedy series navigating the mishaps and mind boggles of adulthood and all the absolute banterous antics that come with it.
What if you're on, like, the fringe, if you're, like, 29, just about to turn 30, can you still listen to it?
Yeah, I reckon, yeah. You've got to do it in secret, though, you know?
Good answer.
I know you're going to dig this.
So, Anthony, what's the world talking about today?
Well, Sonny, storming into the studio today, we have a topic for all those people who got left by themselves on Valentine's Day. All those who had a good time, because today the 99% Certified is talking about relationships.
You're obviously talking about the trade relationships between USA and China.
Just for our audience's sake, yeah, and so they don't just turn off the podcast right now, we are talking about romantic relationships.
Anthony, you never specified romantic relationships.
Yeah, I've made loads of notes on the American-US deal, like, what?
So, Anthony, by romantic, you mean the romantic relationship that Trump and Kim Jong-un have?
Yeah, the little romance they've got going on over there.
Yes.
So, should we jump straight in then? So, do you guys believe in the one?
I believe in, like, the ones. So I think, like, I think there's potentially many people out there that you are compatible with. Because, like, yeah. I don't know, like, there's billions of people out there. The chances of you'll just find just literally that one human being that's, like, perfect for you. I just think, like, I don't know. I just think there's quite a lot of people out there that will be compatible for you. And I think it's just who you meet first, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and most of the time it's conveniently just like down the road for something like that.
The local chippy.
Oh yeah, pulling someone at McDonald's at 2 a.m.
Oh, romance.
No, Kate, I'm completely on your side. To be fair, I think I don't believe in the one, but I believe in ones. You know, people who are compatible with you.
To be fair, I think we could in the future have like dating apps that read your brain and could tell what is your perfect pick, like who you find attractive, who. And then find someone who finds you attractive and just find the perfect matches.
That is, I think there's been like Black Mirror episodes about this kind of thing, Baz. But
is it?
Yeah, there has been, yeah.
I was going to say, you know, like, obviously we're talking about the ones and we're joking about there could be a guy down the road and local chippy. But it has changed though, right? Because back in the day, going back a few hundred years, you were sort of constrained to just your closest circle. And it had to be somebody from like a group of a few hundred people that you might know.
Now
you've got dating apps and you literally could meet somebody across the globe. So
the one had to be the one, like once you committed to someone, there was no going back. Like you're not allowed a second go. Whereas today, divorce is quite, you know.
People get married like six times,
So in a way, Henry VIII already was ahead of his time, wasn't he?
Yeah, what an entrepreneur.
My boy was doing it well. So guys, when it comes to like short and long-term relationships, do you guys prefer one or the other, or do you like switch between?
I think it depends.
Our age,
yeah.
Short term has to be.
Do you think?
Why is that?
Because I don't like the idea of finding someone now that I'm going to be stay with the rest of my life. That's too early.
So you're almost going into a relationship saying, yeah, I want this to end within about 6 months.
That's exactly what you're saying,
Baz. It's not a relationship, man. It's an internship.
It's a situation. Baz said internship, you know.
Sonny, you know, but I think that's basically what I feel.
I do get you because I think if you meet the one now, that's it, no more flirting or one night stands, that's quite boring. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I just think at this age relationships tend to end, so I know that sounds really depressing, but whenever I go into a relationship I'm like, oh well, this might end in a year, so I don't know, there's no point in it being the one, because it's just I just like flirting with people.
Some people are naturally flirty though, so you know you can't. Sometimes it's hard to resist that urge. But when it comes to short and long term, I agree with what you're both saying, all of you. I think it's going in too early. So I know people who have got married at the age of 20, and you know, our people our age have got married at the age of 20, and they've been together for a couple of years. Bro, fucking 5 years down the line, less than that, they're going to start having the wandering eye if they're not perfect for each other, man. It's peak.
Yeah. Also, if one deteriorates faster than the other, that always creates a bad dynamic.
Oh, if you get really bold and fat, yeah, not ideal.
The thing is, I think when you settle down too young, you're not fully mature yourself to sort of know the things that you want.
Yes.
For example, when you're at 20, you're still at university, right? Some people don't graduate till 22, 23. And then once you get in a few jobs and stuff like that, that truly molds you as a person. So I think purely just being too young and being too naive is going to have a constraint on a relationship if you two don't grow together.
Yeah. If you look at the person you were with when you were 16 or whatever, you would never be with that person now because you're just so different from them. So I just think the person you'll marry when you're 30, you'll be a completely different person by then. So it's just why rush? Just have fun. Just flirt.
Do you know what it is?
I know a lot of people who had partners basically all their life so far.
Whoa.
And I feel the worst when you get chewed out later, you feel like you've missed out on all the fun years.
Exactly.
Yes, that's true. So with the whole short term and long term thing, I've heard it said that a lot of people go through peaks and troughs. So one person, the peak could be a relationship, but then the relationship doesn't work, so you go into a trough, and in the trough, you're just, short-term flings, and then you go back into a peak. Do you guys operate like that, or is it different?
I think that's called rebounding.
I operate like that. I've noticed I'll go through phases. So I was in a relationship for the whole of uni, and then for the past year or so, I've just been, my housemate was you're a bit of a fuck boy. I was I'm sorry, what? Because she was just you just flirting and getting with people. I was is that a bad thing? I don't know. But I think when I'm committed to someone, I'm so loyal and wholesome. And then when I'm not, I'm just woo. And I will go through phases where I'm this is my time for just myself and my mates and having fun and stuff. And then I'll go through a phase of being okay, yeah, I like him. We'll, get together. Yeah. Mm.
What I would say is I have no envy towards people in relationships. I don't, at our age, I don't, when they're staying inside, they're not going out for months out. I have no envy of that. I feel like people become very boring, don't they?
A lot of people do. No. I know, Baz. You're wearing that wrong. I think people with susceptible characters become boring. So, for example, if you're easily dominated by what your partner wants, and she's like, babe, I want you to stay indoors with me. If you're weak and you're okay, yeah, baby, sure, I'll suck your toenails, it's fine, then obviously it's going to be shit. But if you've got a strong character, you're no, I need to see my friends, you're going to see your friends, but then it will work.
But then jury's out, though. So I've seen so many mates who just become dead wood. Oh,
me too,
crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just become a bit
dead wood.
They don't enjoy the motive as much. I don't go out just for pulling, so I think I'd still go.
Don't lie, I've seen your nights out, mate. Don't fucking lie to me.
That is not true.
But the thing is, if they just enjoy being at home with their partner and that's what they enjoy, are we hating on them for being different to what we might like?
Because there's extremes, though. Because when someone just bins everyone.
Yeah.
That's unhealthy. Because the thing is, if you're spending all your time with that one person, and you're not open to the outside world and to your friends and to your family, that's unhealthy. And that relationship is going to feel that strain. That relationship is not going to last.
That's why I always date people in my friendship group. Like, my past couple of exes have been people in the friendship group, just because it's so easy, because it's like, oh, you're going to the party tonight? Yeah, all right, see you there. Like, it's just so easy, and it's never like, oh, I'm going out with the guys tonight, I'm going to be late home, because it's just like, oh, yeah, so am I, see you there.
Then are you setting yourself up there? So, for example, once you break up and you bump into them and see friendship circle.
Yeah, to be fair, like, it's a bit like, oh, okay, time. Like, it is a bit awkward, but then, I don't know, I don't even know, yeah, it's tricky, because you want them to... The biggest thing for me is if they get on with my mates, because if it's awkward with my mates and them, it's like, oh, are we compatible? But yeah, you want them to be buds with your mates, I think.
Oh no, 100%, mate. The Spice Girl said it best. But I just think that
if you want to be my lover,
you gotta
get with my friends.
Oh, is that literally what you're quoting?
Yeah, of course, mate.
Absolute banger.
Banger, mate, for sure. What I'm trying to say is, like, I do agree with you, Kate. I think if my missus is going to meet my mates, that they have to be able to get along. I don't like this whole idea of it being like, you know, two Flintstones. Nah, it has to be, you know, you have to gel together.
So, you know, nowadays, obviously, with the rise of social media, relationships are splattered online. Thousands of pictures, and on Facebook, your relationship status and all of that. What's your view on that?
Can I just say, I think that a lot of, like, relationships, which, as you said, you know, splattered over social media, I think a lot of them are not actually about the people. They're about flexing and showing other people, I have a relationship, you don't.
You know another one that gets me? The padlock on Instagram. So, you know, like, lots of people, they'll be putting a padlock on there to signify that they're in a
relationship. Oh, I hate that. I literally hate that. Oh.
The padlock and then...
Is that a bio thing?
The bio, yeah. One person's got the padlock, one person's got the key.
Oh, it's like a freshers party. Oh, God.
I see you doing that. I could see you doing that.
Nah, man. If I had, like, a... No, because what... The cringiest shit is when they put the padlock, then they put the date that they fell in love.
No. The cringiest shit is where it's like in their bio, it's like Ben since, you know, April the 2nd, 2002. And you're like, oh, mate, I've a day off.
Oh, that's mad, man. So, guys, when it comes to relationship timelines, I think about the way I see it. That one of the best phases of being in a relationship for me is the honeymoon phase. And this doesn't even relate to just, you know, being in an official relationship. You know, when you start sleeping with someone for the first time, and then, you know, you've got past that stage of, you know, any kind of physical awkwardness and you're just comfortable with each other. That initial, like, few months is golden to me. What do you guys think?
I think obviously when you're in the honeymoon stage, you're sort of getting to know each other, right? So every little piece of information is new and exciting, right?
So you're still a mystery, you're still a mystery.
That honeymoon period with almost anyone is going to be amazing just because you're getting to know a brand new person. It's like watching a brand new show on Netflix, right? You haven't seen it before. I think that's why the honeymoon period is so sort of enticing.
Definitely.
Have you guys seen that show on Netflix called, I think it's Marriage is Blind or something?
Love is Blind. Interesting, very interesting show.
Because it plays into my theory that the voice is probably the most important thing about how you portray your character to the outside world.
Definitely,
very important. It's a vehicle.
True, because sometimes a guy is not that good looking, but if he's got the voice, he's got some value. Imagine a really hot guy who spoke like a high-pitched squeal.
Not for me.
It's the confidence as well, right? That comes out through the voice.
Yeah, exactly. The voice, for sure. The confidence shows your voice in your character,
Of course, you know, you have to have a good voice because it's the vehicle through which your thoughts are delivered. And if it's a rusty van, mate, it's gonna be shit, isn't it? So
Because your looks show nothing about your brain, but your voice does.
It's how you present yourself.
So with that, have you guys ever? Do you guys? I mean, this is kind of deep. Have you guys, like, ever truly been in love, or do you think you're still yet waiting to get there?
I think you go through different phases of love. So, like, when I was like 4, I had a boyfriend at nursery and he bought me a chocolate heart and I was like, I love you, Terrence. And now he's gay and he's living a very nice life and it's really nice. And then do you know what I mean? So that's like one phase of love. And then the second phase of love, I was 16 and it was like, it's a bit scandalous, to be fair. So, like, I was head girl, you know, and then he was like,
oh, you were head girl?
Yeah, man.
I was head boy.
Yes. We'd have been buds at school, man. And he was like deputy head boy, and it was like this big, like, we were flirting, and everyone was like, oh, these two are gonna get together, and we're in assembly, and everyone, this is tangenting a bit, but, and he was like, oh, do you want to go out? And I was like, yeah. And the whole year group was like, oh. And anyway, so that was love in a different way, because it was like a high school flingy romancy thing. And then there was the third stage of love, which is, I think, the first time I've properly been in actual love, which was at uni. So I think, yeah, as you get older, you go through like different phases of love, as you know, and different depths and stuff as well. Oh, that got deep.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to define love. It's what love means different things to different people, right? Is that Anthony? What does love mean to you?
So for me, there's two definitions. So there's being in love and there's loving someone. And let me explain. You'll understand when I explain it. Being in love is that feeling when you see someone, they're like the perfect person. All you want to do is like leave the party, go back home, you know, show them that you love them. That's like being in love with someone. Loving someone is the stage which comes after the infatuation, where you realize that they're not perfect. You're not perfect. You're going to have hurdles in the road, but both of you together, you can jump it. That's loving someone. And so I've only been in love twice, and I've only loved someone once.
Can you grow out? Can you grow out?
Aww. Yeah, I think you can. It's happened to me before. Yeah. Grow out of love.
Everybody.
100%. Yeah. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing?
Was it really true love if you grew out of it?
Yeah, I reckon so. No, yeah, people change, don't they? Yeah.
I think it's easy to grow out of being in love, but it's hard to grow out of loving someone. The two differences.
True.
It's like, obviously it'd be wedging off, but it's like, for example, when you have kids, it's like you never grow out of love for that kid, right?
Mm.
You can't, though, because that's a part of you, you know? That kid Kelly's like a part of you.
You can.
I know, but that's what you want
your relationship. Baz, who hurt you, man?
Mum or dad? Sons.
No, but if your kid's like a psychopath...
if your kid's like a murderer...
Oh, you still be like, oh.
Like, fine. Yeah. If your kid was a murderer, would you stop loving him?
Yeah.
Stop loving your kids.
Well, you wouldn't. You don't. I don't get a say, but I think you eventually would start to feel less emotion towards the kid that's well behaved and you like.
Kate, I can tell you're completely against this. Like, no, Baz, that's your kid,
nah,
man. That's,
you would that's... visit your son in prison every week. Like, are you still a psychopath? Yes. Oh, well, that's upsetting.
Like, if your kid did a crime by accident or, you know, something, you forgive him. But I'm talking if your kid is a legit psychopath. Your son is that. What's that
Ted
guy?
Bundy, Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy, yeah.
Good old Ted.
If your son is Ted Bundy, you're not going to...
You've done some parenting wrong there.
Yeah. That's on you, bro. That's on you for being
that's
a shit
you,
daddy.
Daddy-o.
No, I don't think it is. Because a psychopath is a natural occurrence.
He's going to be like, Dad,
this is the whole nature-nurture debate once again, but I think it's if you've been a bad parent and you've let them do their own thing and they end up being like a mad head, that's your fault, bro.
Yeah, set them straight, man.
You're telling me you would love that child unconditionally, so you would literally give them everything you had?
No.
You have two kids. You've got two kids.
Okay, go on, tell us, go on.
One is called Pete. He's lovely, he's kind, he's sweet.
Perfect Peter.
And the other one is Horrid Henrik.
Well, yeah, Henry and Peter, isn't it?
And then you've got a kid called Daniel, and Daniel has just been arrested for murdering neighbours. and Daniel has attempted in the past to kill Pete. What are you saying?
All right, Baz. First of all,
oh my God, Baz.
Both of them are my sons, isn't it? Pete and Dan, they're my boys. But Dan's obviously, you know, he's gone down a road where he's taken a few wrong turns. So obviously he might kill someone. I'll go visit him in prison, man. He's still my son.
You've just found out you're on life support and you've got a day to live and you're doing your will. What's the split going to be between Dan and
you? Why does it always have to be about money with you, though? Fucking...
No, because that's a way of quantifying your love.
No.
50-50,
no,
man.
50-50. You're telling me murdering Dan's getting money.
Both of them are my kids. Both of them are carrying a part of my DNA forever. That's a legacy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my legacy, man. I want both.
You can't let that go.
You can't fuck that up, man.
I would counter you in that, because just because you love someone means that you never give up on them doesn't mean that you treat them exactly the same. So, for example, if one of your sons is a killer and the other one isn't, doesn't mean that you're going to give, for example, money to your son that's a killer, because that doesn't show love, because that's not going to be good for him, right? So if you love someone, you do the things that are good for them. And if you have two sons and they're both different, one might be good for some for your Daniel, and one might another thing might be good for Pete. That's
my point. I'm not talking about like a kid finding the wrong track. I get that kids. I'd like if your kid messed up and stuff. But I'm talking about a kid who's got like a problem, who is inherently evil.
You can't give up.
Yeah, he could be Esther. She could be. She could be Esther from Orphan Man, but she's still my daughter. Like, I still got my DNA in her. I'm still going to help her, man. She might try to kill me, but I'll be like, babes, it's cool. You're my daughter.
You died trying.
Nah, I'm joking. You're telling me if your kid then grows up, he grows up and he hangs around women showers.
What? Women showers? Like a pedo? Not a pedo. Pervert, yeah. Yeah.
Are you still on board?
I'll just tell him that you're...
Just tell him that's morally wrong.
Yeah, I tell him it's morally wrong. And if that was my son, then I'd just tell him, like, listen, instead of like instead of watching women, why don't you like go and talk to them instead?
Kate, do your homework, yeah. Kate,
and Anthony has sold paedophilia.
Cheers, Aunt. Nice one.
Oh, my God. All right, guys.
I respect your opinion, to be fair. I respect your... what's called your purity and your opinions, but I do think you guys are you want to believe that, but I think in the real world you wouldn't.
Ask me again in 20 years.
Yeah, there you go. That's the best test, actually, Baz. Ask her again in 20 years. What do you guys think of like a funds with benefits situation? Like, do those work? Have you done them before, or is it something which is healthy?
I think as long as it's like open communication of like, this is not going to go any further, I think it's fine. If you're both, you know, really clear and honest with each other, you know what you both want, there's no like messing about, then yeah, like go for it, why not?
No, the thing is with like friends with benefits situations, I think it's important to like get the rules out at the start. So I've done this a couple times in the past, and one of them was like a colleague a while back. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna bleep that part out. I'm just gonna say I've done this.
Do you want to tell us where
he was a colleague?
He was a colleague.
Yeah. Name.
Did you slide into a DM shit out, on LinkedIn?
No, I used to work with her, but I'll bleep this out in it. Anyway, I've done this before, but when we did it, we established like six rules at the start, like six ground rules that we'd never break and everything would be fine. And we stuck to it like glue, man. Huh. We didn't fuck that up for a good 3 months. No one caught feelings. Like, I just left. So that's how it ended. But I think if you establish that this is just chill and it's not going anywhere serious, I think they work well. Sonny, what about you? Have you ever been in one of those situations?
You know what? I quite like an emotional connection. As in, like, that's a big thing for me, to have an emotional connection with someone. As in, like, you need a whole package. It's just not just one thing. Just, for example, just having a physical side of it. You need an emotional package. You need to connect with someone. You know what I mean? They need to make you laugh and be attracted to them as well. I'm not gonna lie, attraction is a big part.
Sonny, Sonny, your mum's not gonna be listening to this.
I know, but
no, I get you though, Sonny, because I think, like, I don't know if it's just like a female thing or a universal thing, I don't want to like generalize or whatever, but I think it's really difficult to be sexual with someone and not catch feelings or feel like you're, it's hard to maintain like an arm's length approach to someone while you're intimate with them, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, no, I get you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, because once you break that barrier, like, there's no defense left, man. You could say to yourself a million times, oh, yeah, I'll be a stone wall. My heart will be made of stone. But if you really like that person, like, you will slowly creep towards liking them more than just, you know, friends with benefits.
Yeah, and a person that can sort of keep that emotional barrier there, that's that Baz's kid called Daniel. That's being a
Jake Daniel.
I want Daniel to guest.
We get Daniel on the episode next.
No, that's bad. But...
Also, don't put this on me. This is Anthony's child.
we're gonna call him your, because he was your blame child, Baz. So we'll call him. Like short-term things, can we guys talk about, okay, let's talk about body counts. Do you think if someone's got a high body count, that's a bad thing?
I'm really open about this, because like, I was watching Love Island a bit ago, and this girl was like, oh, I've slept with 15 people, and everyone was like, oh my god, and I'm like, is that bad? Like, I don't know, I just think as long as you're not, you know, leading people on, you're safe and you're consensual and nice, I think you know, it's your body. You just have some fun, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like, get out there.
Do you know what though? Like, if you, for example, like Kate, because like, let's, if for example, a guy's got 100 on his body count, is that is that a red flag for you?
It's quite a lot of people. Like, it depends how old he is. Do you know what I mean? If he was like 18, well, not that I'd get of an 18-year-old, but if he was quite young, I'd be like, oh, whoa, what have you been doing? Like,
how many STIs does he have?
Yeah. How many kids do you have running around? Is your kid called Daniel? I don't know. Like, I just think like you've got to be careful, haven't you? Like, it would probably be a bit off-putting, yeah.
guys, bad Sammy, what about you?
What about you, Anthony?
I'm asking you first, man. I'm asking you, like, what's too high for you? Like, is there a cutoff period, or are you okay? Like, if a girl slept with 100 guys, are you cool with that?
Listen, I don't know, man. I think it's something I haven't given a lot of thought to, but I think it all depends down to how you feel about that person and what was going on there. Do you know what I mean? Did that number get up to 100? I don't know. What about you, Baz? What do you think?
Good. 100 is obviously way.
Thank you. One honest man in the room. Thank you.
I was trying to give a Drake answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. that was the worst deflection of all time, Sonny. Bloody hell. Baz, what about you? Let's deal with you then. Do you think 100 is too high?
Yeah, no, definitely too high. But for the most part, it's not something I care about.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, I would often be a bit scared if it was too low.
In what way would you be scared?
I'd fear that they would read too much into it. Like, they haven't done this before, so they would just play into this idea that this is like a big deal.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're someone's first time, they're gonna fall in love with you, man. 100%. They're gonna fall in love with you. So
that is a painful position to be in as well when you have that much power to upset somebody.
For sure.
Yeah. Which is why, like, I can see why people are reserved about sleeping with someone for the first time if they're a virgin.
Okay, I've got a question. At what point does you seeing someone turn into a relationship? Does it have to be official? Do you know what I mean? Do they have to ask you officially, or is it just something that transitions into that?
Good question.
You know, it plays into the idea, you know, when you're a kid, people don't ask for dates. They say, "Will you go out with
me?
Will you like be my boyfriend, or will you be my girlfriend?" Which is mad.
But in the real world, that happens a lot. Like, a lot of the time, someone will propose to someone else, and they don't do it by saying, "Will you go out with me?" That's fucking wet. What they'll say is, do you know what they'll say? They'll say, "Where's this going?"
Where's
this going? This is my thing. I hate this. I hate the idea that the label things. I think we should all, as a society, be more open to having an interim period where we just have an interim relationship.
Oh, that's
interim period.
It does just happen naturally, though, doesn't it? Like, I remember sitting down in a cafe in York, like, a few years ago, being like, "So, where's this going?" And he was like, "Well, you're my girlfriend." And I was like, "Oh, am I?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And it was just as simple as that. I was like,
smooth,
cool. Yeah,
smooth,
I was like, I mean, you
transition.
Haven't asked me, Ed, but we'll go with it. Like, yeah, it was just like, all right, sound, got a boyfriend.
Well, another way it often happens is when you're in a group and you have to introduce that person.
Yeah, it can be quite awkward, though.
My days, did you introduce me as your friend?
Yeah, but it can have a bad effect, because my old housemate was at a party and this guy was like, "This is my girlfriend." And she was like, "Whoa, I'm not your girlfriend." And she just dumped him that night because she was like, "This is going too far." This is going way too fast. I'm not your girlfriend. See ya.
Man, like, I remember my girlfriend in uni, the way what happened for us was she proposed to me. She was like, "Oh, where's this going?" And it was nice, though, because, like, I did kind of feel that way as well. And it was smooth as well. But the worst things ever is when one person's invested and the other person isn't. So the one person might propose, like Kate just said, like Baz just said, and you get shut down, and then all of that months of you like sleeping together just means nothing.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Well, it doesn't mean nothing.
Well, it doesn't mean nothing. You still got your locks off, but you know what I mean? The long term thing, like, it doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's weird. There's a lot of older people who just don't have that settling down gene. I know Steve Coogan, for example, has spent most of his life dating very young women. He just broke up with his latest girlfriend because he's unable to commit. And the guy's like 50.
Oh, God.
And she's like 20, like 5 or something. And she wants to commit and he doesn't. Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, but I like Steve, so I'll let him off.
Did you see that meme that I sent you the other day? It was like an old man and he's smiling. He's like, "Men are finally ready to commit."
Do you know what it is? Like, Leo DiCaprio does this as well. He's got this thing where as soon as they turn 25, he dumps them.
Oh, my God.
He's gone through so many women. It's ridiculous.
Is he not married yet?
I was speaking to my adult friend recently. He told me that, like, wasn't that long ago.
My adult friend.
What does that mean?
How old is your adult friend, Buzz?
He's about 50.
Okay.
And he was telling me how, like, back in the day, it was like very, very common for women just to be like, obviously catcalling and stuff, but just on the tube, it was free game. Everyone would be touching and having a go.
What?
Whoa!
What, touching? Mm. Full on, like, creeping. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, creeping. I'm not sure why I mentioned that. Either.
The subconscious plays up again.
Yeah.
The shadow bars comes out to play.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about, like, I mentioned that because in the past it was very popular to court. Is that the right
courting,
word?
Yes. Courting, yeah.
Courting, yeah.
You would go, and then you would now go out of your way to now almost make a business case.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Like, whereas now it's just a natural thing to be on board, but back in those days it was like the man could pick, but then the man had to then do the work to prove their worth.
I'll give you two horses and a carriage, so
yeah.
It's like in that film Holes, you know, like it's called Bloom Gift or Blind Price. That's it, Blind Price.
Yeah.
So you've got to pay the bride's father in order to get her hand in marriage. How mad is that?
Like, it's insane.
You're basically buying her like a slave.
That's insane.
Crazy, isn't it?
And the price you pay is based on the factors of her value, based on her education as well. So if that girl is into uni, you pay more.
That is ridiculous, man.
What cultures do the bride price? Because although it sounds very, very bad, at the same time, it's the idea that if they're a poor family and you're a man who's got money, you should pay to the family to keep their upkeep as you take their daughter away from them.
Well, it happens a lot in Asian cultures, but I get what you're saying. Yeah. For example, if you're...
It shouldn't happen in the UK, but in other countries it makes sense, I think.
Yeah, like arranged marriages. My grandparents had an arranged marriage. She never met him.
That's mad.
But what's mad is, like, back then it was acceptable. But when she did, he was, like, very manly man and she was a very feminine girl. So it worked. And by that, I mean, like, she didn't say much when she was younger, but she just did everything he said.
That's insane. Okay. That's literally insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dating's definitely changed, hasn't it? Like, it's gone from that to, like, just swiping someone and going... So, do you want to go out? Like, it's insane.
Yeah, because back in the day, like, if you were to ask someone on a date, what would it be? Like, oh, do you want to ride on my horse or something like that?
Yeah, come on, hop on, mate.
Yeah, where are you going? Like, but now we've got a whole system out. We've got a whole infrastructure to, like, go to a bar with someone, book a hotel, all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I once saw an episode of Celebs Get Dating where one of the men said to the woman, like, the chat was going dead, and he then told her, like, I have a house that's 500K.
Oh my god.
He told her what the mortgage payments were. Like,
oh my god.
Terrible chat. Oh my god.
No, but I think he was trying to, like, show off, like, say, like, come with me and you've got yourself sorted.
Yeah.
Was he trying to impress with 500K? Isn't, like, the average price of a house as well?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but
yeah.
For a young person, that's, like, pretty good.
That's a big flex.
It's
good.
But it's, like, we've touched upon an interesting bit here. How important is money in a relationship?
Ooh, that is important.
I've never thought it was that important. I'm just pure, you know?
Really, Kate?
I don't know. Like, I think at this age it's not, because when I date someone at this part, I'm not, like, thinking about getting a house with them and starting a family. But I think maybe later down the line I'll be like, okay, how much can we afford in terms of investment and housing and stuff?
Would that make you leave someone if they want to have financially stable?
Oh, yep.
Because I think there's just so much... Oh, that's tricky, actually. But no, I'd never deliberately want to be with someone or not because of money.
Well, guys, I think at this age, it's a lot easier for us to just be attracted physically to someone.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's be real, like, 10 years down the line, I think that changes. I feel like...
it does.
Yeah, I feel like once you become a proper adult, as Baz has said, I think it gets to the stage where guys are no longer deemed attractive just because they're physically attractive. Like, they're attractive because they have money,
their lives together, yeah.
Like, their shit together, yeah.
I do know a few people who have, like, are in this situation where they have a partner that you can tell is in it for the money. In fact, one time
we went
on a night out where this girl had a boyfriend and she found out where I worked, or where she thought I worked, because I used the company an example just so she knew what my job was like, because she didn't understand my job title. So I was like, you know that company, what they do? That's what I basically do. And she was all over me. And I remember, like, she had her arms linked on me, and I remember her boyfriend was behind and he was, like, calling her, like, what are you doing? And I was so pissed. I was like, not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then later on in the night, she's like, tell me about this, what works like there. And then I was like, oh no, I don't actually work there. I just work in a company like that one. And she left me and didn't see everything else.
Oh my God.
Do you know what that's called?
The good news is I ended up working at that company. So, hey.
Hey.
in an alternative universe, I could have stole it. That when you were Elliot.
Got it.
Do you know
what? Find her in 10 years.
What's mad though is because I was on this night out with him. I feel like in this particular case, maybe it was just drunkenness, maybe it wasn't, but in a lot of cases, I feel like hypergamy is a little thing, and like girls will want to be with a man who they deem to be higher than them in social value.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, there's a lot of old people that have this issue. I know one guy who's basically a billionaire called Larry David, and someone asked him, like, how would you feel? And he's an old guy, he's bold, and he's like, how would you feel if a woman wanted you for his money? And he'd be like, well, why else would they want me?
At least he's honest.
Yeah, exactly.
See,
like, sometimes you see these old people who have these hot girls, and they genuinely are convinced that it's a legit thing.
No, mate. I've got some bad news for you, my friend.
I've actually, like, I've broken up with someone before because it's the same guy. It's Dentist Ben, who I mentioned before, who was, like, getting really keen and introduced me to his sister. And he would just take the liberty of, like, paying for everything, which was, at first I was like, oh, thank you, I'll get the dessert or whatever. But it got to a point where I was like, mate, this is just weird now. Like, I feel like Pretty Woman, like Julia Roberts. Like, what is going on? Like, it kind of made me feel less independent and less, like, badass, if you know what I mean. Like, I kind of like being equal partners, and it felt a bit, I don't know, like he was just paying for my company. I don't know, it was just a bit weird. Like, I was like, I don't like it.
You go from being, you know, the girlfriend to being his escort.
No, you'll know this, Kate. Do you find sometimes people buy you a drink and then expect something in return?
Oh, my God. All the blooming time. It's so annoying. Although it's quite nice sometimes because you're just sort of like, okay, thanks for the Coca-Cola, bye.
It's so rude. I had this happen to me. People buy you drinks and they're almost annoyed. And sometimes you're like, I want this drink, but... And they're annoyed at you, and you're like, no.
Oh, so many times. So many aggy conversations that you've had to hide from. It's insane.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I do think it's a... I don't know. Buying a girl a drink, I think I've very rarely done that. I feel like I can get by without doing that.
I've never done that unless I've got with her. We'll talk. I've never bought a girl a drink
off. Once you're like, you've got with them in the night, then you will...
Then you buy them a drink. Yeah, I would never like straight up. When I was in uni in first year, like, I remember seeing so many people in this club called Fifth who literally would go around the club two drinks, one in each hand, and like the first girl they see, they'd be like, babes, you want this? Just put this fucking double vodka and coke in their face.
That's an efficient move. Do they just take the drink back when they say no?
Yes. Yes, man, literally that. Yes.
Oh my God.
Literally that. So they basically go and like select whichever girl they wanted, have a go. She says no, move on to the next.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was the worst, man. Until eventually you have one of those minxes who, you know, decides to say fuck it to the system and takes a drink and then just scarpers to the toilet.
Oh.
The whole game plan is finished.
It's best when you're like with one friend and then two guys or two girls, whatever partner you're in, like come over and like start chatting. So you're like, I'll take that one, you take that one. Like, that's just so like,
yes.
Oh God, yes. It's terrible.
Sometimes someone will get, because you sometimes need people to distract the real
the wingman
surrounded by mates. What you need to do is you need to peek your wing people to wingman, just distract the surrounding.
What do you guys think about long distance? Can you do that?
Ooh. I've never done it.
I've been offered to do it before.
Offered.
I've been offered it and I declined.
What
did you say?
No,
did you actually?
No talk. Yeah, no. I just thought that it's best to just leave it rather than trying to, you know. I don't want to force it like Star Wars, man. Why don't we just leave it? Why don't we just check it where it is instead of trying to force it until it spirals out of control? Because long distance doesn't make sense to me in my head. In my head, if I'm in a relationship, I have to be physically with them. I can't have this Skype call ting every 2 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you don't have that intimacy with you, like with someone, do you? If you're just kind of like seeing them every other week, like it's surely not as... Like, you don't get that as deep a connection, I don't think, if it's just like, right, see you next month, John.
Exactly.
But it always starts off so well there, doesn't it?
I know Baz will agree with me on this, but when VR kicks in...
Oh, my God.
So
even Kate's sick of this. This is her first time guesting.
Boys.
Bloody. The funniest moment was when in one of the episodes, Sonny was like, we were always like, oh, Sonny, you're always blowing up VR. And then Baz was like, but yeah, the audience hasn't heard this because we keep deleting it.
Oh, amazing. That was
too good. Oh, my God. Okay, jump back into this thing. Yeah. So with... do you guys think people who live together, like, and they're with each other every waking minute, I think those people get sick of each other quick. What do you think?
Surely.
So what, every relationship you've been in and you've been with someone for a long period of time, you got sick of them?
No, but I'm trying to say something like, if you're living in each other's pockets, you might be desperately in love, but if, you know, it takes away the mystery, man. Like, you no longer, you know everything about them.
Yes. Because, the unknown is
exactly.
amazing. Like, we love the unknown.
We do.
It's desirable,
because in your brain, you glamorize the unknown.
You do,
When you find out, like, in their free time, you're thinking, what could they be doing? And then you find out.
Yeah, something awesome. Bed,
eating crisps.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, I definitely agree with all of that you're saying. Mystery is exciting, right? We talked about a honeymoon period. But the thing is, what if you are with somebody 24/7 and you are sort of literally right next to each other and you still don't get bored of them? What does that say then?
Oh, then
you fair found enough, yourself,
You found a cheap
on the back.
I just like so many old couples who genuinely hate each other, but they just can't be left to end it.
Yeah, too much effort, too much happened.
That's how the divorce rates went up during lockdown, right? Spend time with each other and stuff.
With the old people as well, like, I think it's a political thing. Once you're like 70, you don't want to break up. Why would you divorce your wife at 70? Come on. Why would you do that?
Where would you go from there?
Where would you go? Yeah, you just end up like ruining the family. Why don't you just pretend you love each other and keep going?
One thing I have noticed, I found it, once you're in a relationship, you all of a sudden notice your options.
Yeah, like, yes, you do. It's because you can't have anyone else, so you're like,
But also, you're more confident and you've got swagger, and also you can kind of, you don't doubt yourself as much. Like, if you see someone looking at you, when you're in a relationship, you're like, oh crap, like, you look back and then you can see, oh shit,
100%. But do you know what it is? It's more that it's deeper than that, though. When you're in a relationship, the classic trope of human nature is people want what they can't have.
Yeah,
and when
psychology 101.
Trust me, once you're taken, girls will start flocking to you once, like you've never seen before. You're like, where were you when I was single? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, you're seen as valuable because someone wants you. So
exactly. Have you not noticed, like, have you ever looked at someone you're dating and then looked at their ex, and if their ex has been really attractive, it makes that person you're dating more appealing because you're like, well, their ex was fit.
Yes, there you go. And I think girls as well, like, and even guys like to compare each other to, like, oh, was I better than your ex?
Yeah.
Was I, you know, a better lover? Was I, you know, a better chat? What, all kind of things. But also, with
almost a validation as well, right?
Right, so a madness happened to me once, right? I, with my girlfriend back at uni, everything was going fine. Out of the blue, this girl who I knew from back in like school time started messaging me out of nowhere. Ooh. And then it was like full on like voice messages. Oh yeah, we want to meet. I was like, hold on a second. Where was this energy? Where was this energy when I was single as a plingle looking about? Where were you then? And suddenly now, because I've got a girl, you're, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to get what is this all about? Are you a home wrecker? Is that what you are? Is that what you are?
People love a challenge as well, don't they? If someone's a bit hard to get, it's like, ooh, I'm gonna run.
Kate, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, but I feel like girls love the idea of stealing another girl's man.
Really?
So I
have a story about this that I feel really bad for. So back in January, I got this guy in a club, like a really innocent smooch. And then it turns out that he's engaged. He's got a fiance. I feel terrible. I think they're still together, but I was the other woman. Boy is like, what's that about? She added me on Facebook
What was his name and Instagram?
I think it was Connor.
His email address. His telephone
number. It was Connor. But it was like my friend's like master's graduation. We all went out, and he like knew her, and then she was like, you know, he's engaged. I was like, oh, what? I still feel really bad about it. But obviously,
a very exhausting thing happened to me once. Was I was out on an hour with a flatmate who was pretty hot. And she was all over this bouncer because she had this thing for men in uniform. But she was just and this guy. I must have been pissed because I don't remember giving him my name. But the next morning, this bouncer, first of all, didn't have Facebook. So he got on his mate's Facebook to message me to get her he already messaged her, but then they didn't think she'd reply. So they came to me as if to be like, yeah, have a word with her. Like, come off it.
Oh my God. Jesus. So much admin went into that.
That night, she had to get a police. That's how pissed she was. She had a police lived home.
Oh my gosh. Attractive, huh?
I was sat next to her, so yeah. on the homewrecker thing, though, I think people are too tough on, like, let's say I get with a girl who's got a boyfriend and the boyfriend wants to batter me. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not part of this relationship.
Word
with someone else.
I know certain guys who literally, their mentality is, if I can beat up her boyfriend, she's single. I know guys are that mentality.
Oh my god.
It's really bad. It's so toxic.
Well, here's a no-no that I will never do in my life. I'll never make someone my lock screen.
Yeah, oh, I just can't do it.
No one's. That's so cringy. I'm not doing that.
What about if it's a picture of you and her?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, that's the same. That's the same deal.
Oh, what?
What?
What? So wait, Baz, would you
live in my life like at work, annoyed, depressed, and shit my phone and go, oh, my.
I'm not going to lie. I'm with Baz. Penelope. I don't want to have like pictures and all of that on my lock screen.
For the really? Past,
people do it for show. So that, yeah, people do it for show. So when they open their phone, it's like, oh, I've got a, look at me. Someone likes me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why. That's exactly why it is, Baz. Honestly, you hit the nail on the head there. Baz, would you ever go, all of you, would you ever go Facebook official?
No. You know, eventually, I suppose, yeah.
Really?
You would.
I don't like that social media.
Yeah, I've not done that in years.
There. When it comes to ideal partners, what else do you guys look for?
Do you want my list? I actually made a list. When you sent over the notes for the podcast, I was like, right, well, I'm going to make a list. I don't have a diary that I sit by each night going, my ideal man, but like, I made a list just for the podcast. Right, I wrote down these words, right? Chill, funny, ambitious, artsy, fun, and loud.
artsy person. Is that who typed, Kate?
Yeah, a bit artsy. Just, a bit creative. We got some stuff going on. Yeah. Okay. But I think just someone who's quite fun and, yeah, just at this age as well, like, you just want someone to make you
energy.
Add a bit of energy.
Aspirational, on the motive, spontaneous.
No. Yeah, for sure.
That's Baz's list.
Wait, is that your list, Baz? Like, spontaneous, confident?
Yeah.
So what? They can be a complete munter, but as long as they're spontaneous.
As long as they're confident.
But you know, the thing is, we're saying all of this, yeah, right? We want them to be funny, we want them to be confident. Do you reckon somebody actually goes out there and says, yeah, I want a girl that's boring. I want a girl that's like completely not confident.
Yeah.
Isn't like, there's somebody actually out there?
Some people are not very like active and they are quite like 9 to 5. They work in business parks. These guys just want, you know, someone chill. For me, there are some things I don't care about. Like, intelligence isn't that important to me.
So wait. Are you serious? So even if she was stupid, but she was still confident. That's a bad combination, man. Stupid
if
and confident is a bad combination.
She might have weird opinions.
And got character, then yeah.
So she could be like really stupid, but they'll comment.
She might have, I didn't say stupid, I just said she didn't have to be like intelligent. She can just be like average intelligence.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be a uni grad. I'm not going to put any of those nonsense on it.
No, okay. Fair enough.
So for you, it's more about... Do you know what I find the cringiest thing? When people say, "Oh, I'm a sapiosexual. I'm attracted to intelligence." I hate that. I hate that because let's be real, man. Physical thing is more important when you first get together.
Yeah, the first thing. Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes it's good to get a checklist early on and then just do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So chat to someone in Hinge and they say they're like this, and you're like, oh well. I do
not for me. Goodbye, Richard.
That's funny.
I know you're going to dig this.
We are the 99% Certified with myself, Sunny Singh.
Anthony Menezes.
And Baz.
With only one name, bringing you hard-hitting topics so you don't have to. And I want to say a special thank you to our guest, Kate Whitaker. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a blast and love to have you again.
Shall I say something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was like, do I stay silent? Oh,
how about
thanks? Thank you so much, lads. I'm curtsying right now. You can't see me. I love you all very much. Can't wait to sesh with you soon.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening, guys, to the 99% Certified. Follow us on Insta and Twitter at 99% _certi, CERTI. And follow our personal Instas at @real_SunnySingh, SINGH, and Anthony on @Anthony_Menezes, MENEZES 7. And finally, follow Baz on B.Baz11. Also, guys, thank you for all the support you've shown us. Please do follow us on Spotify and iTunes, and please leave us a rating so we can keep on entertaining your lives. Also, guys, please send us any dilemmas that you have and you want us to address on the show, and you can send those on 99%certified@gmail.com, and that is a 99 as a number, 99. All right, guys, we'll see you soon.